Lecture 20. My stem cells are perfect. I am perfect now. Santa's gift program to me. Seminar. How I train my genie stem cells. Well, my stem cells are perfect. I am perfect now. Lecture 20. Since I am perfect now, and my stem cells are perfect now, this is my revelation. I am my dream fulfilled. I am my choice revealed. I am God, God I am. And that's all that matters. Now, since I am perfect and my stem cells are perfect, this is my revelation. We all have an idea that we are wonderful. We all have an idea that we are very special people. Whether we like it or not, we always think of ourselves as number one. And we think of ourselves as the only person that matters. Now, if Ellen gets in the car and goes to town, that's all that matters. If Ellen decides to stay in town for a year, that's all that matters. That's all that matters to Ellen. There is no other world outside of wherever Ellen may be, except for her. And Rex. So the two of them, they decide that whatever is for them is important. Nothing else matters. And they live in the now. They live in the now. Absolutely, totally free of any responsibility, free of any other thing to do. Now, for instance, if you got sick and went to bed with a cold, and you were in bed with a cold and sniffle, sniffle head, nobody would come in to you and say, by the way, how should we handle this particular thing you're working on? How should we do this? How should we do that? They tiptoe around, keep your door closed, keep the windows all covered up, keep you in the dark. You don't know night from day, and you're in there, and there's nothing else that matters. Nothing else matters. They know if they don't take good care of you, you might expire, and then you will really not be around. And they will have to do all those things themselves. So they're very careful. But as far as you're concerned, you are doing whatever you're doing, and you're perfectly content. By all this, what I mean is that we are number one, and we always will be number one. And that's all that matters. And it really doesn't matter what else we do. You know, if Anita had an idea in her mind, and she says, I think that since I am free to do what I want to do, I am going to go to the North Pole. And I'm going to go up and visit some Eskimos up there. They don't know I'm coming, but I'm going to the North Pole. And so Anita goes to the North Pole. She doesn't tell her mother. She doesn't tell her friends. She doesn't tell anybody. She just goes. And people say, where's Anita? We say, I don't know. Does it matter? No. Is it important that Anita be here? No. Is it important that she be somewhere else? No. Well, what's the deal about Anita? Why is she totally unnecessary and unimportant? Why is she that? Why are we that? This is truly who we are. So, when we say here, my stem cells are perfect and I am perfect now, what does that mean to us? Does that mean that there is no other business out there, no other world out there except us? Really, no other world out there except us. Now, Sylvia had a telephone call this morning at lunchtime from her brother. And Sylvia sat down and talked on the telephone. Nothing else existed. It didn't matter that we were sitting down at the table to eat. It didn't matter that everybody was mulling around and talking about this and talking about it. It didn't matter that the dogs were playing here and there. Nothing mattered except her conversation with her brother. They were in a separate world. They were in a world that was just their own. And Sylvia did not care one teensy-weensy little bit how the lunch was coming. Now, it was her job. She was supposed to be preparing the lunch. She's supposed to be serving the lunch. That's a chore that she has accepted. Now, she didn't care. She went to another world. And what happened? Everybody just filled in. Did what had to be done. No big deal. But the thing is, Sylvia completely abandoned us. She completely told us we don't exist. We're not important. When she's got her brother on the phone, nothing else is important to her except talking to that person, right? You see, we live more in the now than we realize. We live more in the moment than we realize. Because it wouldn't matter. Gertrude, do you know what your son is doing right now? No. You think you do because it's a certain time of day, but you don't. You don't know what he's doing. Which son am I talking about? You don't even know that.
You think of Martin,
yeah. Yeah. Martin is the only one that I would be talking about, yeah. Well, you'd be surprised. Mm-hmm. Now, you had an adopted son for a while. Who's that? Odahi. Was he your adopted son for a while? As long as Katerina claimed him as her partner? He was your adopted son, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. And you really didn't pay too much attention to him. A little bit, but not much. And when Martin drifts off to Thailand, you think, that's nice, but you don't pay attention to it. You don't say, oh dear, I hope he doesn't step in a mud puddle. I hope everything goes right for him. You just let it alone. You let it alone. And you really don't care. It's not that you wish him any unhappiness, but you just have no interest in him as long as he's not in your present moment here. And that's true for all of us, about everybody in our world. Now, for years, Ingeborg couldn't give a damn about her relatives. And then all of a sudden, her relatives started caring about her. They started writing to her and talking to her, and all of a sudden her relatives became exciting people because they became part of the now. And so now she has this very great joy in her heart every time she thinks of her sister, or she thinks of the sister-in-law that she had. Every time she thinks of these people, she thinks a joyful thought. Now, when we realize that we're perfect, when we realize that everything we do is perfect, when we realize that that's all we know, then that's what we experience. Do you know what happened to Ingeborg? When she started to think about her relatives, her stem cells began to do bubbly dances in her of happy thoughts about her relatives, you know? While Sylvia was on the telephone, all of her stem cells were just bubbling around in her consciousness and her body, and she just felt light, and she felt charming, and she felt happy. She felt perfect. She didn't have a headache or a cough or a stomachache or anything like that. She didn't even know what those things were. All she knew was she was having a wonderful telephone call with her older brother. And she was very happy about it. This is what we all do. Now, that's a moment of perfection. That's a moment of ideal living. That's a moment of setting our stem cells into high gear to accomplish what we want. Now, just a moment before the phone rang, Sylvia might have had her mind very busy with setting up the luncheon schedule. Very busy, doing this, doing that, doing this, blah, 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 blah. And then, Sylvia, your brother's on the phone. She entered a new world. Her stem cells jumped into action for her brother on the phone. They all jumped into action and made Sylvia into such a charming, lovely lady. Oh, my goodness. She forgot all about anything that might have disturbed her. All she thought about was being a happy sister to her brother. All she thought about was saying joyful and wonderful things. And that's good. But you see, this is what happens to us when we have our momentary choices of anything to do. Our stem cells jump into action for us, and they invigorate our body and invigorate our being, invigorate our activity wonderfully. Now, if Sylvia is riding in the car, and the car is going down the street, and all of a sudden she hits a patch of ice, and the car begins to swerve and run around, and then Sylvia says, "Oh my God!" Well, her stem cells are jumping into action and saying, "Oh my God!" and shaking her up. And then she says, "Hey, I'm in charge here. My mind is powerful. I can speak my word. And whatever I speak my word for, it's done." She says that in a second, not as long as it took me to say it. And then she says, "All is in divine order right now. Car, do your right thing." And the car just comes out of the skid, heading straight on the highway, a dry patch in there, straight on there as though nothing happened. Now, if Sylvia hadn't taken charge and made a frightening attitude and kept it up, that car would have turned over 72 times, you know. And if Sylvia had thought she was going to get hurt, she'd get hurt good. But if she thought, nothing. But you see, we instantly must always be in charge of who we are. And if we instantly think of ourselves as perfect, then instantly our stem cells jump into action to be perfect. In the movie last night, why did the ego fall away? Why did it have to die? Because he didn't want the ego to own him anymore. He was growing up. He was growing up into an awareness that his perfection didn't need the ego. Not that the ego was bad, the way they had defined it, that it was not a beneficial thing. The ego is not bad. The ego is your relationship to yourself. And it's perfectly good. It's only when the ego starts telling you how to live your life, then it's not good. Because you are the master. And you are the one who chooses whatever you do. So, he had a big fight with his ego, didn't he? Because he was really attached to his ego. He was very happy with that ego. That ego was just saying, "I'm the greatest." And he wasn't. He's good. He's wonderful. But he wasn't the greatest. What happened when he lost the ego?
He lost the greatest.
Then he was the greatest. Because once you get rid of any controlling activities in your life that run you and tell you what to do, any of them, then you are a master. You say, well, if you get rid of anything, you have no guidelines, no direction, no values. I didn't say that. Do your values own you? They could. Now, your value might be that you think you're better than everybody else. Now, that can just get you in trouble. Because there is no judgment in the absolute. There's no judgment with stem cells. Stem cells say, you're good, you're bad. No in between. The stem cells say, you're successful or you're a failure. No in between. The stem cells say, everybody likes you, nobody likes you. There's no in between. This is why we have to be so careful with what causes we put in motion, what thoughts we put in motion in our stem cells about ourselves. Because there is no other than black and white. Just right or wrong. Can you ever steal anything? If you steal anything, no matter what it is, you have stolen. You have violated your principles. Now, can you give everything away that you have? Sure. Can you be a happy person regardless of the world being unhappy? Sure. You can do anything you want, but whatever your values are, be careful that you know what they are and that you live harmoniously with them. And if you don't have any values right now, which is possible, now is the time to set them in motion. What kind of values do you want? What would be your first value if you set a value in motion? Anybody? What would be your first value?
Integrity. Integrity.
Yes, I like me. Integrity. Mm-hmm. I like me. You see, if you like yourself, you cannot do anything contrary to that. Now, personal integrity, I like me. They go together. What would be another value? Go ahead.
I'm fulfilled in me.
I'm fulfilled in me. Wow. That's a big value, you know. I am fulfilled in me. When you say, I am fulfilled in me, you are saying that there is nothing else necessary for you for to be happy than just to be yourself. How about that? Can you imagine that, Christina?
Yes.
Nothing else is necessary except yourself to be happy. And everything else is, what word do I want to use?
Frosting on the cake.
Everything else is frosting on the cake. And really, that's true. That's true. And is it bad?
No.
Only if you eat too much of it. But even that's not bad, because that goes away too. I told you the story about cigarettes and how if a person smokes cigarettes heavily for years and even has emphysitis, emphysemia, whatever it is, and they stop cold turkey. Within a couple of weeks, their breathing changes. Within a couple of months, the emphysema goes away. Within a couple of years, you don't even know they ever had it. The body is a natural cleansing agency of itself. Now, along with that, the world is a natural cleansing agency of itself too. The whole world. The ecology of the world would go back into normal balance if we just let it alone a little bit. Instead of going to these third world countries where they don't have enough to eat and so forth, and they have to cut down all their trees and make plants to eat, if we would go in and work with them to help them harvest their trees beneficially, if we would go in and plant trees for every tree they cut down, we would have an ecological balance in the world right away, and we wouldn't have to wait for 100 years for it to come back to normal again. See, we have the opportunity to step in, but what do we want to do? We want to go and help them cut the trees down so they can make more land to grow crops. We have more crops in this world than we know what to do with. We throw it away. We bury it under. We dig it under. And we could be giving that to these people or doing something. I mean, if we were to stop and think about it, there'd be many ways that we could do things beneficially without taking away the rights of these people to live harmoniously where they are. Why do these people who live, for instance, in the jungles of the Amazon, why do they all of a sudden need food, and why do they all of a sudden need to have the trees cut down? Why? Why do they all of a sudden? You know why? Because we hate them. We hate them like we hate our own children. We hate them like we hate our parents and everybody else in the world. You say, Herb, that's not very nice. No, that's true. We hate them. We give them in the Amazon television. And they look at that, and then they want those things too. They never wanted those things. They never needed them. It was not important to their happy life. They lived a very happy life. Primitive from our standards, but a very happy life. And the minute they needed them, what did they have to do? They had to have money to buy them. And so we destroy everything that's beautiful by all of our television, all of our media that tells people that it should be more beautiful, more beautiful. And what does the fashion industry do? Anybody tell me? The fashion industry has the skirts going up and down, and so that you'll buy new skirts every year. Every year you got to buy the new fight, whatever the length is. If the length is just an inch below the knee, or an inch above the knee, or an inch below the crotch, or whatever it is, you know. It's amazing. But I mean, whatever is right. And whenever people get wild and wild, then they have it real short. When they get wild and wild, then they have it real long, with the granny skirts, you know. But you see, this is, we create these obsolescent ideas, you know. What happens over in New Zealand? In New Zealand, they have cars that they've had around for a long time, and they keep them in exquisite shape. And they don't have new cars coming in all the time. It's just not financially beneficial. They have new cars, but not that many. And they just make their old cars run beautiful. And what is Adrian doing? He's remodeling a car that's the same age as he is, 40 years old. And he wants to have it because it talks to him. Now, why do we have to have faster cars? They go so fast that we don't even have freeway permission to drive that fast. And we try to make them safer. We make a steel cage inside of there. Well, that's good. But why do we need a steel cage? Why do we need to drive so fast that we need a steel cage? You know? Wasn't that sort of nostalgically lovely to see the horse and buggies? Yeah, kind of charming. I don't know. I want to ride in a horse and buggy to go to town, but things change. things change. But you see, these are the things. We have perfection every moment of our life, and we keep making it imperfection by our disrespect of it. So when we start to respect it and respect ourselves first, then all of these things open up for us so beautifully. They open up so wonderfully that every doorway is open. We live in perfection, but we don't even know it. We live in perfection, but we don't even know it. Now, I don't wish anyone a lack of progress or a lack of, what would you say, the lack of modern conveniences. I don't wish anyone to experience that. But all I know is there are many cultures in this world. Nigeria is one of them, where people have all of these modern conveniences and they still prefer to wash in a dishpan. They still prefer to use a bucket of water to take a bath instead of using the running water because that's what they're used to. That's what they're accustomed to. And is that bad? No, not at all. But it's just they're accustomed to. You see, they really don't want to have all the modern conveniences. They really don't want them. We think they do. We think everyone should have it. We talk about poverty and we say what poverty is. Poverty is not poverty. Poverty, we say, is a minimum income ability. People living below minimum income. Well, those people are probably healthier than the people with a great income. Because the people with a great income can buy more candy. They can buy more beer and more wine and so forth and destroy themselves. Isn't that interesting? Yes, very interesting. Now, my dear perfect people, what are you choosing for yourself? What are you choosing for your goal for yourself? What are you choosing? What are you telling your stem cells to do? Are you telling your stem cells, I'm whole and perfect, and then you go on doing things that make you not whole and perfect? Are you telling yourself that you are a wonderful being, and then you go on thinking unwonderful thoughts? It's so important for us to really be master of our consciousness. Now, I'm running a school, and in this school I have 100 kids. And the kids are all between 8 and 12 years old. And I say to these kids, you are all geniuses. You are all wonderful. You know everything. You're divine. You can think your thought and demonstrate anything you want. And I say, okay, now, let's have some programs here. We're going to all sit down and think our thought. We're going to think, The grass is green, the grass is green, the grass... Isn't that interesting? The grass is green, the grass... And it's in a very arid area where the grass is difficult to grow because there isn't that much moisture. And we say, the grass is green. Now, we have these 100 kids, all of them, sitting there, believing in me, the teacher, saying to them, okay, let's just say the grass is green. And pretty soon, the grass is green. And that is true. The grass is green. The grass is growing nicely. Where is the moisture coming from? That's not the point. Where did the grass come from? That's not the point. They planted it there with their minds and their thoughts. Okay, so then I say, all right, kids, we have some jobs to do. Are you up to it? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, let's say I have a puppy dog. So now each one of you say you have a puppy dog. And you have a puppy dog or a cat. Maybe you like a cat. So you say, I have a pet. And it's whatever you want. So then, out of the 100, maybe about 30 of them get a pet. And the others, they say, how come we didn't get one? How come we didn't get a pet? And I say to them, well, what did you think? Did you think you have a pet or you want a pet? Or have you decided what kind you wanted? A dog or a cat or a snake or whatever? You know? Well, I couldn't make up my mind. Mm-hmm. Now, boys and girls, can you see how the power of our mind can bring grass as we all thought together on grass? Just grass. And it's fun. It's fun to play on it, isn't it? It's always green and nice, always fresh and rich for us. Always the right height. Wow! You know? And so, yes, they see that. Now, as I talk to them, and I tell them, do you know where this grass came from? They say, God? Yeah, you're right, it came from God. But do you know where it came from? See, God, if God is all, you could have grass, or you could have puppy dogs, you could have houses, you could have parents, you could have whatever you want, but you all chose to be here with me. Okay, now, why did some of you get dogs and some not? Because some of you doubted. Not that you doubted, but you said, I wish I could have it. You didn't speak your word in the present tense positive, saying it is already there now. And so now let's all change it. Are you all ready? Okay, this is just an action. You put the key in the ignition on the car and turn it on, it goes. You don't put the key in the ignition, it don't go. You speak your word improperly for a pet and you don't get it. You speak your word properly for a pet and you get it. And they said, okay. Every one of you, let's make up our mind. Have you all got a pet in mind? You know what you want? You can't figure it out? What do you want? Well, I'd like... What do you want? I want a snake. I want a rattlesnake. Okay, then you have a rattlesnake. It's your pet. And the rest of the kid says, I don't want to sit next to him. And then we say, is this a friendly pet? Are all of our pets friendly? Are all of our pets loving and cuddly, even the rattlesnake? Does a rattlesnake want to be cuddled just as much as any other pet? Well, yeah. You see, a whole charisma of ideas and thoughts are built up there. And these kids, they go right into it, and shazam, everyone has their pet. And then I say, now, how did you get your pet? How did your pet come into your life? Well, I spoke my word. That's true. But who was listening? Who was listening? And they said, God? Yeah, well, God. But who was listening? Santa's helpers, the elves. The white stem cells. The stem cells are Santa's helpers, are God's helpers. The stem cells are God's helpers, giving us anything we want. So when we tell these stem cells, hey, come, I want a puppy dog. Or not, I want a puppy dog. I have a puppy dog. And he's brown. And he's got big brown eyes. And he's so cuddly. And he's so nice, you know. Can you imagine having 100 pets? And then you feed them and everything else and take care of them. And what have you? Why not? If you're doing it with consciousness, what kind of pets are you going to have? A number one, the best. Okay, now, so I have them all sit there, or walk, and whatever they're doing, they're thinking of their pet. And I say, what are you going to name your pet? Or what have you named your pet? What is the name of your pet? You know, what? Present? Tense? Positive? Oh, I named mine Jerome. I named mine Sabrina. I made mine Mark. You know, I name mine Diego, and so on. You see, you name it something that you love. And so, then, here comes this pet, out of nowhere. The big pet store in town brings out a shipload of pets, saying, are you the people who ordered all these pets? And we say, yes, I think we are, if you got the right order. Oh, I got the right order. It came right on down from the source. I haven't the slightest idea where it is. And paid for it. And we come out every week to check on them to make sure that everything's okay. We come out every week to make sure they get the right foods and happy things. And we come out every week to spend an hour or two to teach everyone how to train a dog, train their pet. Mmm, how nice. So every week, the pet store sends out about 50 of their staff, big pet store, and they train these kids how to take care of their pets, how to love them, how to feed them, how to comb them, take care of them. Who's doing all this? The stem cells. The stem cells are Santa's helpers. The stem cells are your brain's helpers, God's helpers, you are your helpers, to accomplish whatever you want. Now, Gertrude, tell me, please, where does Santa's helpers get all of their equipment and things they need to have to do the things they do? They're there. They're there. Where do the gnomes and the leprechauns and all these little creatures get all of their goodies to do the things they do? Are they real? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Where do these kids get all these dogs and cats? From the pet store. Well, so it appeared to be. How did the pet store know that they were to go get them, you know? Interesting. Yeah. You see, our stem cells are really very knowable. You understand that word, knowable? Our stem cells are really very knowable. We can know our stem cells. We should make friends with our stem cells. Why do I say that? Where do our stem cells ostensibly come from?
Our brain.
Our mind, yes. But our brain. Our brain exudes 10,000 stem cells every day. Isn't that what they tell us?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And other organs and actions and functions of our body. Exuding stem cells all the time. No. Where did they come from? And as you said, our mind. They come from our mind through our brain. Our brain is the physical vehicle that pours them out. Now, do we have a well-organized mind? Do we have a balanced mind? Do we have a balanced head about ourselves? If we do, then all of the things that the stem cells bring forth in our life are balanced. Now, what I'm saying to any normal, reasonable person is illogical. The things that I'm telling you right now are the most idiotic things that anyone in the world could ever conceive of being. There's only one thing more idiotic than what I'm telling you about.
Okay.
What's that?
Not
the Bible. The Bible stories push your credulity. they're beyond reason, beyond anything. Where did we learn that?
In the art and science of
holy. What did we learn?
God is neither reasonable nor logical.
What's that?
God is neither reasonable nor logical.
Now, G-O-D or D-O-G is neither reasonable nor
logical.
Now, what about thinking? Thought is neither reasonable nor logical. Thought is neither reasonable nor logical. Think about it. It isn't. Because you think a thought, I hate me, oh, nobody likes me. And lo and behold, nobody likes you. And then somebody comes along and does something nice to you. Oh, I'm so wonderful, I'm so happy. And just a switch, boom. It's not reasonable, logical, that one minute you would be so sad and the next minute you'd be so glad. You can't do that. But you do. You are a master of everything you think, everything you say, and everything you do. The stem cells are just part of that wonderful picture of our illogical being. And it's great. It's great. Now, we will say this, but we don't believe it right now, but can you levitate? Can you teleport? Can you be invisible? Can you be visible? Can you do anything you want? Yes. Well, why don't you do it? Because you don't really care that much yet. Now, what if you were Daniel and the lion's den? You know? And you went into the lion's den, and you're alone with all these hungry guys. And you say, okay, guys, I'm only here for a short time. Now, I'm just going to be a mouthful if you want to take it that way, or I can be something special if you work with me. Because, I mean, if I come out of this, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you good. You know, you don't have to worry. You can retire for life. You know, no more chasing around in the arena for something to eat. I'll take care of you. And did he say that? Essentially. He said, lions, I am known as a storyteller. Now, gather around me and I'm going to tell you some stories. The lion said, what in the world is this? But that's his game. It's like John. You know, people gather around him and hear stories. They say, oh my goodness, where did he do that? How did he create that? Where did he come from? Well, that's what they thought of Daniel. Where did his stories come? Daniel said, well, now, I was born. And he went through the whole life story. And the lion sat there in trance. And he says, you know, you guys, if you let me pet you, you'll have a sensation that you never had in your life. Not sexual in any way, but just a sensation that just turned you on. And so the female lions came over first, and he petted them, and they meowed and were so happy. And the male lions stood apart but got close enough to be touched. I said, not bad. I can feel his vibrations. I can feel that energy vibration of Daniel in the lion's den. And by the time the door was opened to find out what Daniel was doing, he was so busy, engaged in sharing and talking to the lions, that he didn't even have time to come out right away. Remember? He stayed a little longer because he was finishing up his life story. Now, stupid, idiotic. Let me tell you something. Everything in the world is stupid and idiotic, if you want to think of it. Everything in the world. In the Bible itself, just to start with, who told the story of Moses? Moses. Who was around while Moses was doing these things? Basically nobody. Yeah? He had his meetings with God alone. Yeah? Now, who told the story about Jonah and the whale? Jonah did. He's the one who told the story about Jonah and the whale. And how God helped him to get out. You know? Interesting, isn't it? All of these stories that we read and we say they're biblical stories and they're cultural, traditional type stories and the ones we must believe. Hey, that's just the tale of John Charles Dainty, telling his beautiful imaginative mind of all the illustrations that come to him. Or Herb Byerly, telling all the stories that he knows, and or not all, but some. Isn't that interesting? You say, well, that's a lie. Well, were you there? Were you there? The phrase is, was you there, Charlie? Was you there, Charlie? Were you there at the time that story was being told? The story of Adam and Eve. Isn't that interesting? You know? Very fascinating. And the story of Adam and Eve, I didn't even make it so fascinating, but they were the first people on earth and the only people on earth. So, Cain got married. Who'd he marry? Where'd he find the wife? Yeah. All these neat things. They're fantastic. So, don't deny yourself the possibility of things being true that you've never dreamed to be true. Of things to open doorways for you that you never dreamed to open. Just like Gertrude and all your beautiful experiences. You would have never dreamed they were possible 10 years ago. Or even less often. But you open the doors. I liked what your teacher said to you, you know. What did you say to your teacher, the music teacher? Train me, right? What did you say to her? You told her music teacher you wanted to learn music, right?
Yes, yes.
What'd you say to her? Train me, right? Teach me.
Yes.
What'd she say to you after hearing you sing?
No, you can't do it.
No. She said no, right?
No, no.
She didn't say no?
She said yes.
She said yes?
Yeah, yeah.
Right away?
She liked to earn the money.
Huh? What's that?
She likes to earn the money.
Ah, so?
Yeah, yeah. She would never say no.
Gertrude, I like my story. My story was that she said no to you, and you said please. And she said, all right, it'll cost you. And so you paid, and she taught you. And did you learn?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
when I had enough, then I created her that she could no more see.
Oh, that wasn't very nice. No, I know. You created her... making you go on your own.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Yeah, and that's beautiful. But
she could see, but not so the knots.
Her vision.
Yeah, yes. Mm.
But Gertrude, even though it sounds like a harmless joke, it's more powerful than you know. Don't do that. It has ramifications for your body. No, I know. But when you repeat it now as a joke, you have to be careful because it has ramifications that come back.
Afterward, I thought, yeah, that was actually right for me.
There was time.
It came to an end.
There was time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same with your driver's test. But all these things, no. Are you ready to be... Bovant world traveler. Are you ready to be a person who is free to come and go as you wish?
Yes.
Without any responsibilities, chosen or otherwise. You're just a free spirit. Are you ready to be an Anita? A free spirit. Loved everywhere you go. Appreciated everywhere you go. Showered with money everywhere you go. Without any obligation. Sounds nice, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's true, yeah. But that's you, and that's your attitude. And as long as you have that attitude, you will be showered with money and showered with opportunity and showered with everything, wherever you go, without any obligations. Why? Sylvia, why? I am...
Number one.
Independently?
Independently.
Wealthy. Yeah, we're talking about her money right now. And she's showered with wealth, you know, everywhere she goes. You're independently wealthy, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so don't go limiting yourself on your length, either.
On what length?
Your auto length. See, she was so slow, she picks it up.
Okay.
This is how it goes. Now, who would have ever dreamed that Ellen would want to have a great big oxy car? The Expedition, you know. It's a big old truck. It's made in the finest, smoothest operating truck you could ever want, but it's just a big truck. It's a truck frame, a truck body, a truck engine. Strong, powerful, well-built, smooth, and all the special things in it. But she liked it, not only for its comfort, but because she can be up above everything. She can see. Interesting, isn't it? She created that for herself. And then she created two of them. And then she created another one, even bigger, the motorhome, where she was higher above everything. And she loved to drive that. And she'd look out the window and say, "Hello, you plebs, you people." But you see, this is how we are. Now, how can you bring perfection into your life? The perfection of independent wealth, the perfection of success in anything you do. How can you bring it in your life? How can you bring those things to yourself? How can you enjoy those things and know those things for yourself? Have you thought about it? How can you do it? All right. Since you have a difficulty with that, how did my 100 children accomplish a green lawn? How did my 100 children accomplish each one a pet of their choice?
By thought.
By telling their stem cells what they wanted. Now, they may not have said, "Stem cells, I want a dog." They just said, "I now have a dog." And the stem cells act upon every request we make. "I'm unhappy. I'm unhappy. Nothing's going my way. I'm so unhappy." And the stem cells say, "Okay." And they give us more unhappiness. Or you say, "I am balanced. I am happy. Everything's going my way. Wow, it's a wonderful world." And laughter and joy and bubble, bubble, bubble. And what happens? Everything goes your way. Now, what do you want? Is that how you want it? Is that the kind of life you'd like to live? Then that's up to you to do it. Now, only you can do it. You see, there are 100 kids there, and each had their own dog. Now, do you think that some of them looked at their friend's dog and said, "Oh, that's a cuter dog than mine," or "That's a friendlier dog than mine"? Anita, why are you so sure that you're right now?
Because I create exactly what I love to experience. If I create a puppy dog, it's exactly what I enjoy.
Say it again.
I create exactly what I choose to experience.
I create exactly what I choose to experience.
And so, as a pet example, I have a picture in me how my puppy dog looks like, and I know already have it because that's exactly what I created.
And what aspects are in your puppy dog?
My puppy dog is pure love.
Pure love, like Rex, huh?
Cuddly.
Such a tiny one.
Simply ideal puppy dog. Mm-hmm. Always a puppy.
Hey, isn't that interesting?
Because that includes all these attitudes.
Yeah, yeah. Attitude, right? Is Rex always a puppy?
Yes.
Do you think Rex would sit on my lap if he could?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
But you see, all those children are not jealous.
No.
They are not wanting something somebody else has. They're each knowing they have that wonderful treasure that they can just speak their word for and bring forth in their life. Isn't that exciting? They just know it. Now, that's the way we want to do it. That's perfect thinking. I am my dream fulfilled. You know? I am my choice revealed. How well we covered that. I am God, God I am, and that's all that matters. Now, Gertrude, if you were one of my 100 children, and you saw Anita with a puppy that you thought you'd like to have, what would you do? How would you get a puppy just like Anita's, with all the attributes that Anita's puppy have that you'd like to have?
I think of it that I would also like such a puppy. I see it in my lap.
A little louder. I would think of it. And
I would think of it. I see it already sitting on my lap.
Oh, sitting on your lap already, huh? Mm-hmm.
And it is done.
All done. Now, what happened to your puppy that you didn't want? Beautiful. Beautiful.
Just too soft.
But the thing is, you don't have to give up or not give up something for something else. You merely stop thinking of the limitation and start thinking of the inclusion. And when you start thinking of, you don't want her puppy, but you want one like that. But you want one like Sylvia's too. And Sylvia has a long, sleeky dog with long, slinky hair, you know. Not to be combed, you know. But, Sylvia, you create your personal groomer too. Can you handle that?
Yes.
And you create your personal feeder. And you create your personal whatever you want. A butler for the dog. Hey, it happens. Dogs have butlers. Unbelievable, but they believe them. And do you think they appreciate it? They take it as a matter of form. You know? And that's the best way to do it. Now, Shirley Temple, do you think she thought she was special as she was growing up?
No.
She was just doing a job and doing what... All the other children she was with were actors too. And they wanted to do that. And they respected her for being able to do it. And they wanted to be near her because they wanted to rub off her ability and her talent, her joy. But mostly, what did they want to rub off from Shirley Temple?
Her charisma.
Her delight in herself, her charisma. They wanted that special glow that Shirley Temple had for themselves. And if you were living around that time when she was doing her thing, what would you see among the children, actors, child actors? They all tried to be like her, tried to be a cutesy like her. But she was a natural cutesy, and that made all the difference in the world. Did the stem cells work for her?
Yep.
Did she know it? No. Her mother never told her. And, concluding this hour, Sylvia wants to tell us what her sister said about stem cells. Or your niece.
Well, she said that, generally speaking, she said, that science comes up with answers to things that we have thought impossible only a short time ago.
That we had still thought impossible a short time ago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we'd always been thinking it impossible.
And she said that she just read something about stem cells that come from the skin.
Mm-hmm. And what... Do you want to enlarge on that?
No, because I don't go anything to enlarge on.
Thank you.
Get into
I appreciate your integrity of giving us what you know and not what you guess. But actually, if Sylvia really would just stop this nonsense and open up her mouth and let it flow, everything she'd say would be correct, wouldn't it? Everything, and she wouldn't even know what she's going to say next. She would just always say that which is the truth. Am I right?
Yes.
Thank you. Take a break. See you. See you in 50 minutes. I love you.